It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. When you hear the word Shakespeare, do you start twitching? Memories of long ago English classes dancing in your head?
I do start twitching. In my case, it was a really bad teaching of Julius Caesar inflicted on me in 10th grade.
Well, then the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged and revised, which is currently on stage at the Milwaukee Chamber Theater, might just be the thing that exorcises the particular nightmare once and for all. Hanging out in a basement, four overachievers attempt to perform all of Shakespeare's plays, that's 37 of them, in 99 minutes.
They use whatever comes to hand and mind to get the stories told, as the scene demonstrates.
Why can't this Shakespeare stuff be more like sports?
Sports? How do you mean, Rick?
Well, Marcus, sports are exciting. Engaging. I mean, take the histories, for example. With all those kings knocking each other off, running up and down the field, the throne passing from one guy to the next. It's exactly like football. Except you do it with a crown.
Oh. Hey, they are kind of similar, aren't they?
I think I have a whistle in here.
Oh, really? No way.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay, line them up. Let's kick some royal ass.
25, 42, Richard III, Henry IV, part one, part two.
Hup. And the crown is snapped to Richard II, that well-spoken 14th century monarch. He's fading back to pass, looking for an heir downfield. But there's a heavy rush from King John.
My gross flesh sinks downward.
The crown is in the air, and Henry VI comes up with it.
Victory is mine.
But he's hit immediately by King John. Oh, no! He's cutting Henry VI into three parts. That's gotta hurt. This could be the end of the War of the Roses cycle.
King John is in the clear.
My soul hath elbow room.
He's at the 40, the 30, the 20. Oh, but he's poisoned on the 10-yard line. Looks like he's out for the game. Replacing him now is number 72, King Lear.
To Regan and Goneril, hand off my kingdom. Cordelia, you go long.
There's a penalty marker. Fictional character on the field. Lear is disqualified. He's not happy about it.
Bastards!
Lining up now is that father-son team of Henry IV and Prince Hal. Center snaps to the quarterback. Quarterback gives to the hunchback. Oh, it looks like Richard III's limp is giving him trouble.
A horse, a horse. My kingdom for a horse.
Oh, there's a pile up on the field. Fumble! And Henry VIII comes up with it. He's at the 15, the 10. Oh, he stops at the 5-yard line to chop off his wife's head.
Ooh. Who's your daddy?
Touchdown for the Red Rose. Oh my, you gotta believe this is the beginning of a Tudor dynasty.
Henry V, Richard III, the whole royal family is freaking absurd. Go Packers!
Welcome to Lake Effect. Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start on my left here and just introduce yourselves.
I'm Chase Steger.
I'm Rick Penzick.
I'm Chris Klopatic.
And I'm Marcus Truszynski.
Well, welcome. Welcome. And this is what a fun show. Mm. What a fun show this is. What's it like trying to figure it all out? This is madcap.
The nice thing is that we all kind of have a rapport with each other because we all know each other really well. We haven't worked together a lot, probably in the last few years. Just Chris and I have really
I've worked with Rick.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've worked with you for a while.
For a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't all worked together in this capacity for over 10 years.
But we know each other.
Yeah.
We know each other.
Well, great thing with this script is a lot of it, it's just well engineered that one thing goes into the next and it doesn't need to make sense as long as it keeps moving and the next thing starts happening and you go from play to play and you just kind of follow their stream of consciousness trying to get through all of Shakespeare's work in one night.
And the show is actually based for three actors and we are transforming it into a four-person play, so it does make it a lot of fun to play around with it. And we've switched characters around and lines up and around as we're going because we figure out how to do it with four instead of three.
Why four? Why did you decide to add the fourth?
Michael Wright, producing artistic director at Chamber Theater, has known us for quite a while. He's followed our career from school all the way till now, and he wanted us to do a show. He thought, for the 40th anniversary, let's bring back an old favorite, and I want these guys to do a show. And they were looking around, and this one popped up, and they're like, well, let's do it with them. Let's do it with four guys. And they got Ray Jivoff on board as director, And he's really good at piecing shows together and just making the story work and letting us, the performers, the actors, figure it out as well and guiding us to making the story work.
Well, the conceit for people who don't know is that it's the complete works of William Shakespeare in this 90-minute. Who are you guys to want to do this? What's the conceit?
We are setting the show in technically my mother's basement. So it's like these guys got together who really love Shakespeare and also really love playing music. We have a whole band set up on stage, drum set, guitars, what else we got?
Keyboard
and some a ukulele. Percussion. And what's that thing you got?
An Omnicord.
We even got an Omnicord, ladies and gentlemen.
It's from the future and the past at the same time.
It rips through the space-time continuum quite nicely.
It does. So watch out for wormholes.
So does this show.
But in the script, I think how this is traditionally performed, it seems almost like it's done at Renaissance fairs or things like that where there's a stage. So the conceit is already kind of there of what's happening. They're going to put on a show and you sat down to watch a show. And a thing that Ray and the design staff at Chamber worked with was why would these four guys from Whitewater be doing this show? And it just kind of works that it's almost like we just got together to play in Chris's basement and everyone happens to be there. And we just, off the top of our heads. Right. Well, the beer is backstage. Not really. No, Ray, if you're listening, it's not really backstage. But it just kind of has that feeling like four friends got together to mess around and you get to sit and watch it.
And we use props, too, that you would find in your mother's basement from your childhood, like, He-Man's Gray Skull Castle and sock
Christmas
puppets.
Tree skirts.
Caesar's togas, our child bed sheets. So we got some Spider-Man in there. No product placement.
Right. Lots of plastic bats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Toys. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does it help you as actors to know Shakespeare?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it does because in this, a lot of it's comedy, but some of the jokes are woven in through, like, the plays and the knowledge of Shakespeare, and it's funny because what Shakespeare means now isn't quite what it meant then, and the writers are aware of that, so they take advantage of that to use double entendres when they can and say things that maybe sound different now than they sounded back then. But then just knowing it helps because we do say a lot of Shakespeare's actual text, so knowing what you're saying and being able to handle that and communicate it to an audience is a standard skill you need to do Shakespeare. And I think also to make fun of Shakespeare.
But it's also surprising when there are moments where we can actually be good at Shakespeare and surprise
the audience.
We've
all been surprised.
I know, it does surprise us.
We've all been like, oh man, Chris, that was pretty good. That was pretty decent. Good job on that.
You accidentally were fabulous.
And then you just turned your brain off.
No, right. That helped.
Yeah. It's just that one time.
Had you ever, any of you, done Shakespeare for real before this?
I think I've done probably 35 productions of Shakespeare around there.
Wow. Well, Marcus, tell me where you work.
I work at American Players Theater. Mm-hmm.
So you're doing a lot of Shakespeare.
Yeah. So I usually do about two a year.
I think it was great, too. I think we've all worked with Milwaukee Shakespeare Company, Milwaukee Shakespeare, right out of college. They kind of saw us and our talent, and we were all involved in some capacity. I think I've all done shows with you there when they were
Marcus,
still around.
Chase and I did Richard II together. Chris and I did Julius Caesar.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did The Tempest there.
I did Taming the Shrew.
So not just spear carriers, but actually...
They gave us lines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their folly.
Yeah, so we've all done it like out of school professionally and here or there.
I've been in like 15 different Shakespeare plays, probably, and a lot of them multiple times.
Yeah. And I've been in Twelfth Night four times. I think that's the most I've been in one.
While at school at Whitewater, we did some Shakespeare plays there. Our professor, Jim Butchart, directed us in that. And then also we had seminars anytime we would do a Shakespeare show. There was a class set aside where we just looked through the text and figured out how to scan and how to speak and stage combat and stuff. So we left school. We left Whitewater really prepared to go into production of Shakespeare shows.
Well, and I think it just, again, it goes back to, I can tell just from the scene you just did for us, how much fun you're having with it because you know what you're doing. You know where this stuff is coming from, what the references are. But even for somebody who doesn't know, it's hilarious. It's just the idea of being able to make fun of an icon, but doing it in a way that's not disrespectful. If that makes sense. Because I don't think I've never thought of this piece as disrespectful. It's just so much fun.
Yeah. Well,
it's interesting because it's kind of Shakespearean in the sense that we're like four fools. Mm-hmm. And because we're fools, we can get away with anything. We can say things and you know that's what they're supposed to do. It's not offensive if they're making fun of Shakespeare because that's what they're supposed to be doing. You know, you can't take any of it too seriously.
Yeah. I think it rolls into the conceit a little bit too because these are four kind of overachievers who really, really want to do it justice and want to do it.
And Marcus
well.
Is conceited.
Yeah, and I'm conceited. So,
so that works.
Yeah, it was almost engineered.
Didn't have to stretch too far for that one. So tell me about the music. You've got a whole band.
We do.
So mm-hmm. you're going to be performing in as part of the show?
Yeah, we are trying to fit in as much music as possible, actually.
Yeah.
We do a rockin' number of green sleeves. I can tell you that much.
And there's some parts where Ray left it open for us to create our own music, bring our own ideas to it, but also from the repertoire of the band, what do we have? Well, does this fit here? Could we use this song here to like underlay a scene going on? Or what could we bring in? And so he's let us experiment with music here or there or sound effects in that capacity. And also, what can we play? Well, what can you bring in? A guitar, ukulele, the keyboard, the drums. Where could we fit this in? And I think it's come together really well.
So moments that would normally, I think, be sound cues in any other production of this and would be pre-recorded, we stopped and looked at what we had on stage and what could we do. If this section needs a theme song, what could we do? We could. And so there's just a lot of playing. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I love the idea of the fact that you're a band, too, and that this band wants to do Shakespeare as well.
That's the story of our life.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about art imitates Shakespeare life. Doing shows, the music was live as well. And I think that's a wonderful for us to do it this way. It's a really cool way to present it.
Everything but bear baiting.
That's right.
It's authentic.
Yeah.
Although we get a little bear in there.
It's true.
Yeah. Do you?
No spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the bear.
He's the hairiest.
No spoilers. I'm the hairiest of all of us, I guess.
I was a close
second.
So
who exits Pursued By?
Well, I guess you'll just have to come and find out.
Yeah.
That was good, wasn't it?
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That line's mm-hmm. I like that.
So did you write songs for this?
Well, three of us were in a band in college at UW-Whitewater called The Right Arms, and we've been kind of keeping the band together over these years, playing a gig here and there every couple of years just for fun. And so when certain times come up in the show that we need a song, we'll pull from our own repertoire and maybe switch the lyrics around as to what's happening in the play.
Is there anything you can sing for me?
I don't know. Allowed to. We'll get in trouble.
Could we sing, what is it, the epilogue? Could we do that?
The epilogue.
For Romeo and Juliet?
No, I just underscore the epilogue. I underscore. Oh, and then the ending?
I just mean, yeah, the ending.
Oh.
Sorry, maybe not the epilogue. We just got to pick a note,
put my
right?
hand up to my
can
ear
we do it?
So I can hear myself and so I can harmonize.
And we're in on the same part, so this is good. Okay, ready?
And Romeo and Juliet are dead.
That's a spoiler for Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, sorry about that.
In case you don't know the story of Romeo and Juliet.
If you want to avoid future spoilers, read Shakespeare.
Well,
I thought that was great.
Thank you. That was lovely. Yeah, I wasn't expecting music. That was even better. Even better.
We weren't either
thanks
when we started singing that just now.
We just saw it up as we were going. Well,
so it is great to have you guys in the studio. Are you looking forward to getting this on stage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're looking forward to an audience because there's a lot of audience
participation.
Yep.
And precipitation.
And precipitation. Lots of waterworks happening.
Interesting.
Yeah. And a Gallagher show. And it's like a Gallagher show.
It's definitely another part of this show. A lot of productions of Shakespeare, I mean, you kind of break that fourth wall in your
soliloquies.
To speak to the audience. You know, they become your partner. And in this, they're definitely.
We make them our actual partners.
They need. Mm-hmm. They are there. They are.
So
we need them to respond. We need them to bear.
Be forewarned if you're an audience.
Come to play.
Yeah.
Come to play, you will have a blast.
Gentlemen, I cannot thank you enough for stopping by and doing a scene for us and singing for us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you
Appreciate it very much.
UW-Whitewater grads Chris Klopadik, Rick Penzick, Chase Steger, and Marcus Truschinski perform the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged and Revised, at the Milwaukee Chamber Theater through December 14th. There is a link to more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up after a break, we stick with Shakespeare, but in a decidedly darker way, the bard meets the apocalypse in a chilling, award-winning novel by Emily St. John Mandel. There's more of Lake Effect in a moment on WUWM.